verse 26. A lot of teaching in the book of Proverbs about a fool. Now we think of a fool as somebody that's an idiot. Somebody that's just got no sense. That isn't usually what the book of Proverbs is talking about. It's talking about a person that's wise in their own conceits and their own opinions. They're thoroughly deceived and they don't understand. They lack understanding. Verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. I wonder if I'm a fool. I wonder if you're a fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Let's look at another verse in Psalm 139. And verse 1. David writing about the Lord, he says in verse 1, he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. So he's saying, Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know all about me. Verse 2 says, you know when I sit down, you know when I get up, you know my you understand my thoughts are far off, you know the way I walk in verse number 3, you know all my words in verse number 4, says, you know all about me. Now why do you suppose he would write verse 23? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of the lost. Now, why do you suppose David would say that God knows everything about me, he searched me, he knows everything about me, and yet he would ask God to search me, O God, and know my heart? We would likely say, David, God's already done that. In fact, you said God did that in verse 1. Why are you asking him to do it again? Try me and know my thoughts. Verse number 2 says he knew my thoughts afar off. What are you asking God again for, David? Well, the answer is very simple. David didn't know his own heart. And neither do you, and neither do I. David wanted God to tell him what his heart was like. And his thoughts were like, what was wrong with him? In the book of Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says this, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's the question. And the answer is nobody. The next verse says, I, the Lord, search the hearts and try the reins. God is simply saying that the heart of man is deceitful and is desperately wicked. I'm talking about the unsaved there and the fleshly hearts. For out of the heart comes the issues of life. The fleshly hearts of Christians are no different than that of the unsaved. And he says, who can know it? And the answer, of course, I, the Lord, knows it. This is why David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you ever wonder why you do what you do, and say what you say, or go where you go? Do you know why you came here this morning? Do you know why? Do you ever question why? It's my opinion that God is more interested in why we do something than what we do. See, because why we do something is the motive behind what we do. And if we don't have the right motive, then what we do isn't, it might be right. but it's not the right motive. And I, the Lord, know the hearts, and I try the hearts, and I try the reins. God knows what's in man. You remember the Lord Jesus could say of people who believed on him because of the miracles that they saw him do in John chapter 2. And he said he committed himself to no man because he knew what was in man. And the implication there is that man didn't know what was in himself. But the Lord knew the motives behind them believing in him because of the miracles that he did. On another occasion, he told their motive. They were only doing it for what they could get to eat. That was the motive behind. They were following him because he had just fed the 5,000. And the motive was they want something more to eat. And he knew their motive. God, it's more important why we do something than what we do. We can do the right thing with the wrong motive. We can often do the wrong thing. Maybe have the right motive, but we do the wrong thing through trial and error. So David is saying, Lord, I don't know myself. You've searched me. You know all about me. Now, Lord, you search me, and you help me to know my heart. You try me, and help me to know my thoughts. I wonder if we would dare to pray that prayer to God. I wonder if we ever think of the motive behind what we do and what we say. You got two things in this verse. You got the heart and the thoughts. The heart is the center. It's, I guess you'd say, equal to the spirit of the man. Man is three parts, body, soul, and spirit. It would carry the idea of the spirit of man. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, I think it is out of the heart comes the issues of life. Keep thine heart with all diligence, because out of it comes the issues of life. So from the heart, you got the motives of what we do. You've got the why, in other words. And from the thoughts, you've got the what we do. Paul could say, I verily thought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He thought to do it. Which things I did. He did them. So get this. The heart, then, is the why we do something. And oftentimes we don't know. I must confess. There's things that I say, and I often do, and I wonder why I do them. Things that you say, things that you do, you wonder why you do them. I'm not talking about things that are wrong, I'm talking about things that are right. Both. What I'm trying to say is that we should examine our why we do things. Why we're like we are. And not just what we do. It's important what we do. But it's more important why we do it. We're going to look at that verse again, but in Hebrews 4, a verse comes to mind. In Hebrews 4 and verse number 12, says here, the word of the Lord is quick and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There you've got the same two things, the heart and the thought. The word discerner means an analyzer. God, through His Word, analyzes the thoughts and the intents, the motives of our hearts. Our thoughts is what we think we should do, and consequently, most of the time, we do it. The intents of our heart is why we do it. You go shopping. You thought, well, it's time to go shopping. That's your thoughts. You're going to go shopping. What are you going there for? Going there to buy some groceries. That's the motive I'm going at. Do you get the point? So it's important why we do something. It's my opinion we should question everything we do, everything we say, everywhere we go. Whether it's right or wrong, we should always question, why am I doing this? That's important. Search me, O God, and know my heart, because I don't know myself. Try me, Lord, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. That word wicked means any way that's grieving the Spirit of God. If my heart is full of animosity or bitterness or strife or jealousy or pride or anything like that, that's a wicked way. That's a grievous way to the Spirit of God. And the book of Ephesians 4:30, it says, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you seal unto the day of redemption. It gives a list of things that grieve the Spirit of God there. So the Lord tries the hearts, and it's important what we do. There is no doubt in my mind that many things I do and I say and you say has a selfish motive behind it, a wrong motive behind it. It's good to question ourselves as to why we're doing. What's the motive behind what we're doing? What's the motive behind what we're saying? That's so important to do that. And we're not able to discern that. That's why we've got to say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. That word search means to investigate, explore, to dig deep. Lord, dig deep and see if my motives are right. There's no doubt in my mind this is what made David, why God called David a man after his own heart. I'm sure it wasn't his morals. David was a bloody man, and David was an adulterous man, and David was engineered a murder. And I'm sure God wasn't pleased with those things. And yet we read that David was a man after God's own heart. It was because, in spite of his failures, he was willing to say, God, search me as to my motives, and test me as to my thoughts, and my deeds follow, and if there be any wicked way in me, any way that I'm walking, conducting myself in any way. You see, it starts with a heart, a motive, it goes to a thought, and ends up in a way or a deed, and see if there be any wicked way or any wicked deeds in me. Then he says, you're able to lead me in the way everlasting. You're able to lead me in the things of God now. Now, Lord, that you've made known to me my motives, and you've tried me and tested my thoughts, now I'm ready to walk in thy way, in a way that's everlasting, in a way that's not grieving to me. This should be the foremost thing in our lives of all that we do, all that we say, everything, good or bad. Why are we doing it? The heart, the place of why we do things, the thoughts control what we do. So we should constantly pray this prayer. What kind of hearts does God see? There are many good ones in the Bible. There's many bad ones, but we want to look at some bad ones. Psalm 105. And we do well to ask each one of us if God sees this kind of a heart in us, because it's very possible that he does. Verse number 5. A proud heart is mentioned 3 times in the Bible. Pride, of course, is mentioned many, many times. I would say that pride is the cardinal sin in the Bible. It was the sin of the devil. He wanted to be lift himself up and be like the Most High God. It was the sin of Eve. She saw the tree. It was good to make a wife. That's the pride of life. It's the sin of the wicked. The pride of a wicked man. He will not seek after God. And we are not exempt from this pride. Let's face the facts. There's pride in every one of us. A man that trusts in his own heart is a fool, the Bible says. If we think we are not proud, and we've got no pride at all, then we are thoroughly deceived. And God says a man that thinks that is a fool. He's not wise. He's opposite to being wise. Verse number 5, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. There's a proud heart. God can see the heart. God who searches the heart, he can see a proud heart in anybody. We can't see that. Let's face the fact, we can't see that. We see it in others, but we can't see it in ourselves. And there's no profit in my life by just seeing it in you. The only profit it is that seeing some pride in you is that's a reflection of myself. Because I've got it in some form or another too. And it's only being deceived by the evil one to think that other people are proud and you're not. You have to face the facts. When you get down before God and say, God, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be an evil way in me, you're laying yourself open to God to examine your heart. And God says he can see a proud heart. Whoso privily, secretly, slandereth, accuseth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. That is, I'll not tolerate that. I'll not allow that. I'll not tolerate that. Among the people of God. And that's connected with a slandering, which literally is accusing. Whoso secretly accuseth his neighbor, him will I cut off from the things of God. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. So God sees the proud heart. Look in Proverbs chapter 21. You'll see the proud heart mentioned again. Proverbs 21. Verse 4. We are too prone to think that sin is something of a moral nature instead of a spiritual nature. This verse definitely tells us that a proud heart is sin. Verse 4, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked, they're all in the same path. They're all sin. It's sin. A high look, a haughty eyes. An attitude of where I'm up a little higher than you, or I'm a know-it-all, or something like that. That's a high look. I'm projecting myself as being somebody that I'm not. And a proud heart. That's the motive. Pride. And the plowing of the wicked. That's the sin. That's all sin. They're all in the same category. They're all sinful. Look in chapter 28. Proverbs 28. In verse number 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. That's the source of a lot of contention, the discord among the people of God. It's pride. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fast. And the opposite to a proud heart is God, saying to God, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be an evil way in me. That's something every one of us should pray, if we dare to pray it. Proverbs chapter 6 is another mention of the proud heart. Or a proud same thought. In verse 16, it says there, in Proverbs 6 and verse 16, these six things the Lord hates, even seven are abomination to Him. A proud look. God hates that. The sin of Satan. The sin of Eve. The sin of Cain. It's the sin of the all the people in the world at the Tower of Babel. It was their sin. And you go right down the line. It's the sin of God's people. All down through the ages. In the Bible and out of the Bible. Since the Bible. A proud heart. A proud look is sin. Do we dare to pray the prayer of David, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any evil way in me. Do we dare to pray that prayer? Do we want God to unveil to us our motives? Why we are doing this? What's the motive? Ecclesiastes says the purpose of everything under the sun. And we have a purpose in everything we do. But most of the time we don't know what the purpose is. So often hear people say, well, why did I do that? They don't know. Why did I do that? Or, why didn't I do that? They don't know. There's always that why. And this is what David is talking about. Thou hast searched me, O Lord, and thou hast known me. But Lord, search me and know my heart and tell me if I've got a proud heart. That's the prayer we should pray. Earnestly pray. A proud heart is going to lead you to another heart. And the other heart is in Isaiah chapter 54. 44, rather. Now, as you're looking that up, I'll give you a little bit of the context of this chapter. It's making idols out of wood. Carpenters, in verse 13, they're stretching out their rule and the line and the plane and so on and the compass. They're making the figure of a man. They're making an idol out of wood. And, of course, the wood ends up in verse 15 being burnt. Then shall it be for a man to burn. He'll take it and burn it and warm himself. He can a little fire and bake his bread and so on. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it, and so on. Falleth down before it, but just a wooden idol. So in verse number 20, this is where a proud heart leads you to. That's from this idol made out of wood that's been burned to an ash. A deceived heart hath turned him aside from worshipping, in this case, the true God, and worshipping idols. That he cannot deliver his soul because he's thoroughly deceived, and he can't say there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. There's no lie in my right hand. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. That's a person thoroughly deceived. See, a proud heart, then, is a deceitful. Here were these people feeding on ashes, burning these idols to bake their bread and warm themselves, and doing all of that, they turned from the true God, and they could not deliver their souls. And they said, there's no lie in my right hand. I'm not doing anything wrong. I wonder how much time we spend feeding on ashes. ashes. There's no beauty. There's no warmth. They're no good. How much time do we waste feeding on things that are absolutely no value to us? That are harmful. A deceived heart, in the book of Hosea, I think it is, chapter 10 and verse 2, is a divided heart. Chapter 10 of the book of Hosea and verse number 2, same thought, it's idols and images. Their heart is divided, Now shall they be found faulty. God shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. Their heart is divided. They have a divided heart. How much of a deceived heart is a divided heart? That is, it's a heart that's occupied at times with the things of God and the other times the things of self and the things of the world. In the book of Colossians it says, since then ye be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And a Christian, when they're right with God and their motives are right with God and God has searched out their hearts and they haven't got a proud heart, they're not going to have a deceived heart and a divided heart. They're going to have a heart, even they're doing the things that they have to do in the world. You can be cooking a cake and still have a heart that's in communion with God. It's a constant thing. It's where your affections are set. It's where your heart is set. They're set on the things of God. You can be a busy businessman and still have your heart. And all of that, all your business, you can have your heart set on things above. A deceived heart is a divided heart. The thing about a deceived heart is you don't know it's deceived. That's the subtlety of deception. You can be thoroughly deceived. That's why there's only one rule. Search me, O God, and know my heart. God's going to tell us what our heart's like. He'll reveal it to us by His Spirit, and He'll reveal it to us by His Word. That's why it's so important that we feed on the living Word and not on ashes. Israel feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside. Are we spending time with God each day? Are we asking God to search us, to try us, to see if there's anything evil in us? We're not perfect, but we don't know our imperfections, though, do we? Because we don't know the motives of our heart. Dare we pray, search me, O God, and know my heart, and tell me about it. Try me, examine me, test me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be an evil way in me. God's not going to lead us in the way everlasting. He's not going to lead us in the ways of God, if we've got a proud heart. God will not suffer a high look and a proud heart, we read in Psalm 101, verse 5. God, a deceived heart here will turn us aside. A divided heart, God says, is faulty. That's heart trouble, spiritual heart trouble. So a proud heart is going to lead to a deceived heart because we don't know we're proud. And a deceived heart is going to be a divided heart. It's going to be feeding on ashes. Much of the things of the world instead of the things of God. Okay, here's another heart. Psalm 105, one again. Psalm 101. These will go in sequence. And I believe the proud heart is the mother of them all. God resisteth the proud. Imagine, God resists his own people. because of pride, but he gives grace to the humble. Psalm 101, verse 4. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. A froward heart. That word means a twisted, a perverted heart. Now, a proud heart and a deceived heart and a divided heart is a twisted heart, a perverted heart. It's not the kind of heart God wants us to have. And it's not the kind of a heart God wants to see in us. It's not the kind of a heart that David wanted. That's why he said, "Search me, O God, and O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." David is saying, I don't want to have a proud heart. I don't want to have a deceived heart. I don't want to have a divided heart. I don't want to have a froward heart, a twisted, perverted heart. I want to have a clean heart, a perfect heart, a pure heart for the things of God. I believe that little prayer is the greatest need among God's people everywhere. But dare we pray that prayer? Dare we honestly get down before God? Search me. Dig deep. Investigate. Everything I do, investigate as to why I do it. Tell me, Lord, if I'm doing it for the right purpose. And confessing that we don't know our own hearts. We just don't know our own hearts. A forward heart. Proverbs chapter 11 mentions that again. Proverbs 11, verse number 20. That kind of a heart's an abomination to the Lord. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord. But such as are upright in their ways are his delight. Remember, the heart is the place where the mucus, the issues of life, come. A proud heart cannot issue good things. A deceived heart cannot issue something that pleases the Lord. A divided heart cannot issue anything that pleases the Lord. A froward heart, God says, I won't accept it. It's an abomination to me. Let's go on. Our time is gone. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 3. God sees all these hearts, has seen all these hearts in his people of old. And there's no doubt in my mind he sees them in his people today. And there's no doubt in my mind that he sees some of those same hearts in me and you. Verse 12, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 12, speaking of the children of Israel. And he shows how that many of them through unbelief in the wilderness perished in unbelief and couldn't go in the Holy Land. So he says in verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. An evil heart. Of unbelief. That's the heart of an apostate. A Christian cannot be an apostate, but he can be like an apostate. A Christian can't be a hypocrite, but they can be hypocritical, like a hypocrite, and departing from the living God. An evil heart. That's a bad heart condition, isn't it? To have before the Lord. That's why he warns them, take heed, brethren. Don't be like those Israelites who did not believe the promises of God that he could take them through the wilderness and take them safely into the land of milk and honey. Don't be full of unbelief like them, because you'll perish in the wilderness. You'll die in the wilderness, in the realm of flesh. An evil heart. Dare we ask the Lord if we have an evil heart of unbelief? One more. Jeremiah chapter number 5. Jeremiah chapter number 5 And verse number 23. Says, but this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Verse 25, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholding good things from you. A rebellious heart. That word rebellious means a disobedient and a contentious heart. A child that's rebellious, they don't want to agree with what the parents tell it to do. So it goes out in rebellion. A rebellious heart is the heart Adam had when he sinned in the garden. His sin was out of disobedience, and that's what the word rebellion means. Witchcraft, we would say witchcraft is a terrible sin. We would say, I hope I never fall into witchcraft or have anything to do with witchcraft. We run a mile from witchcraft. But you listen to this. In 1 Samuel 15 and 23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Is as witchcraft. Here it is. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. God says a rebellious heart is on the same par with witchcraft. Now notice this. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Do we look lightly at these things? Rebellious and stubbornness? Do we look lightly at those things? God doesn't. God says rebellion is something like witchcraft. And stubbornness is like idolatry and iniquity. Because God judges the heart. God knows the heart. That's why David said, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me. Put me to the test, and know my thoughts. Do we dare to pray that prayer? I believe if we would all pray that prayer, and let God expose to us any wrong motives that we have, we would see the hand of God working in our midst, because motives grieve God. He knows them, and it grieves God. And God is not pleased to bless us individually, collectively, if our motives are not right. May the Lord help us to sincerely pray, Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any evil way in me, and lead me in the way of the Lord. We pray. Father, we ever ask thee to help us to sincerely pray that prayer of David. We confess, Lord, that we often do things that we're not really knowing why. So we ask thee to search our hearts and make known to us our hearts, that we might not have any of these bad hearts that we read about and we've looked at today. But give us a clean heart, a pure heart, a perfect heart, like some of the men of God of old, that we might walk before thee in a way that's pleasing and glorifying to thee. And so see thy hand a blessing in the land of the living. So we ask thy blessing to be good upon us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.